Yeah, we like to do weird things like that.
You have to keep in mind that I think Dylan was saying that the rules, there are no rules. Guys. Yes. Remember when I talked about freedom before? We are the pirates of publishing. We make our own rules.
I love that. The pirates of publishing.
Nice.
Dang, what if we have to like make that a slogan? It's like, fly, hoist the colors.
Yeah. Why is rum gone?
Yeah, but I do like that idea, though. It's like a lot of people, if anyone's ever heard the term guerrilla marketing, like it's the whole idea of here's what everyone else does. But if you are a small business, or in this case, like an independent comic book publishing company, the cool thing is that you don't have all of these borders or like barriers to go through. You don't have to go clear some CFO's approval for how you spend your money. You don't have to go through some COO to figure out how you actually run your business. You can just make up rules. Like there's that Steve Jobs quote, like what is it? This world is made up of rules created by people no smarter than you. Right? It's like you can make up any rules you want. And the reason why I love stuff like the AI stuff, the ChatGPT, I know a lot of creators get worried about that, but in all reality, what it should do, if you are a creative, you should figure out how to use those to start breaking some rules that people weren't even aware existed. Like the fact that Ed's like, oh my God, I could sell a physical card that has a code on it. Like some people never even considered that. And yet there's tons of people that are like the stand-up comedian that I ran into at a local stand-up club. And it's funny because that guy is now getting bigger and more prominent. And before that stand-up gig, I hadn't really heard much of his stuff. And now I see him all over the place. So when you're small, you get that opportunity to try to get these little weird wins where like, I will remember that forever, like buying a card. I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, that's awesome. Like, yeah, sure. Like you were really funny. I'll buy this card from you. So yeah. Like, yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
So how could indie comic creators promote their work online and offline? What's like the best ways to do that? I know conventions, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, conventions are kind of the traditional way that we think. And I think networking with comic shops as well, getting your name out there and trying to get enlisted in those signings and things like that, because I just did a con down in San Diego and I had done a signing at the shop that put this particular con on, and people remembered me, and it was, you know, back in 2019, and they said, oh, I remember you. I came to the shop for your signing and I bought issue one, and they just start talking about it. So the con, they see a million people, they see a million faces, but if you're in a comic shop signing, you're the one face and they want to sit and talk and engage with you, and they remember you more than just, you know, the sea of people selling indie comics when you walk into small press or artist alley. So get into those kind of things, and people kind of scoff at the, you know, the art walks and little things like that. And I've had some of my greatest success at stuff like that. And I get people coming up like, hey, you remember me from this art walk or that art walk. And they remember because it's, you know, you got someone next to you selling plastic flowers. You got someone next to them selling, you know, hot sauce or salsa. So you're the one comic guy. So they remember you. You stick out, and you know, maybe they tell a friend.
Hey, so, the farmer's market. That's awesome.
I did one where I had farmer's market next to me, and they just said it was basically a free for all. So I'm like, all right, what the heck? It's whatever. You know, it's 10 miles from my house. I can take a shot. And you end up doing, even if you break even or you make a little bit of profit, it's just getting your name out to a market that's not your necessary market. It's like, here's the dude who was coming to buy some hot salsa from the guy next to me, but now I got him hooked on my series. So don't just do the traditional things, because able at a traditional con, they keep going up and up and up. So even just to hit your bottom line gets harder and harder, and you're in a sea of amazing indie comics. You're just one of the, you know, hundreds, but you go to something small like that, you're one of two, maybe even one of one. So you can really sell yourself in a better way.
Just a bunch of pirates in a sea.
Yeah. I would recommend, for example, something we're doing lately a lot is we go to art schools and universities. We do some master class, I want to do some talks. And those are really, really, really interesting audience.
There was a guy that messaged me on our Chronicles of Horror like anthology, like the first or second one, and I haven't followed up with him in a while. It's been like 2 years. Hopefully he's good. But he did ask that he wanted me and Dylan to like go to his classroom and like teach his class how to make comics. I was like,
it's a great opportunity.
I was like, that's awesome.
And I've done that a few times as a teacher. I have other teachers that they teach graphic arts or something like that. And they're like, wait, aren't you that teacher who makes the comic books? Can you come in and teach in my class? And that's the one advantage of technology. I have a PowerPoint that I built for that particular thing. And you just do it straight through Zoom. And you don't have to actually travel to any classroom. So I've done it several different times. And they just like to have that. Because when it's my own students, they're like, you're just the teacher. You're not cool. But when you're doing it to another class, they're like, whoa, that's amazing. Yeah. So you go,
look at this guy. He's not a nerd. Our teacher's a nerd. This guy's awesome.
Yeah.
One of the Vanguard strategies that were in the literary traditional public market where that I'm more familiar with and have studied more often than comics. Comics is like more like a 9-year pastime that I've been into, and I've been into the literary stuff for more like 15. And they talk about doing libraries. Do you guys find that as well? Because I know from, you know, especially the self-publishers of literature, they're all about get in that library, get in the Congress, you know, library book, and, you know, start there and then reach out to local libraries.
Yeah, and I've done that as well. I've networked with the libraries, and when you tell a couple librarians that you're publishing a book, I mean, you have that indie stigma where they initially think, all right, they're going to see some poorly drawn stick man with a bunch of grammatical errors. And when you can show them that you actually are presenting a quality product that can, you know, that can fit in amongst all the graphic novels on their shelf,
right,
they're happy to have you in. They want to let you come in. They want to let you sign and talk and just, you know, give a little thing. I mean, unfortunately, they're like, yeah, well, I'll bring you kids section. I'm like, I don't know if the kids are really up for this particular book.
Right. So know your audience a little bit before you contact, obviously.
Yeah. I was just going to say really quick, like the other thing too is whenever you do get the opportunity to do things like maybe teach for a school, go to a library, go to a farmer's market, it doesn't matter. One of the biggest things on the marketing front I would recommend is always make sure to grab pictures of these things. And the reason why is that if somebody like comes to your Facebook or your Instagram or even your website, like you want them to go, like there's a book called Influence by Robert Cialdini. It's all about like the psychology of persuasion. And the biggest thing that can help is social proof. And some people won't read your comic because they're like, I haven't heard of them before. No one I know has heard of them. But all of a sudden you have a picture that your stuff is on a shelf. It doesn't matter if it's a library, right? Or if it's a store, right? Or a bookstore. Like it doesn't matter where it is. The fact that it's in public and visible, like that's a big deal. And if you want to get real guerrilla marketing, walk around with your own comics and place them on the shelves and take a picture. Right? Like you can really like do that. And like, it's just enough to like get people to read the comic, right? Like you're not like getting them to, you know, start trying drugs. You're getting them to look at your comic. So it's okay to, you know, get a little persuasive and try to like show them like, hey, like this is quality stuff. You should look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marketing, there's called this 3-step strategy. The first, they need to know you exist. Then they need to start like, okay, getting interested. And then they need to get to know you. And then it's going to go buy from you. So before they buy from you, they have to all these three phases before.
Who are you? No, I can trust. Yeah.
I can trust you. You're going to deliver, as I was saying, you're going to deliver something that is up to quality. There is no grammatical errors, et cetera, et cetera. Have you done this before? And then it's going to go, okay, yes, here's the money. Okay, so it takes a while. I need to show all the process. That's what good social media is for. That's what it is, people. Not for this arguing about politics, about that. Okay? So you say, hey, I do this. Hey, I do. I went here. I did this class. I did that. I presented it here. I sold it here. I did the campaign here. I published here. Blah blah blah, all the time, because that's part of your narrative. You know, you're selling. your story. That's what's copywriting. It's everything. All this we're talking about is invented. Okay, you just have to go read a couple of books that are out there. Okay, so apply it, do it, rinse and repeat again.
I agree with there's a lot of books out there on that. It's like, yes, if you're in the indie comic space, you should probably read other comics and get inspired on the creative side, but for all creative endeavors, music, comic, you know, art, novels, film, all of those things require business and marketing savvy. And if you're an independent publisher, right, if you're self-publishing, you need to have that information. And so don't just read fictional books and then try to sell your book and wonder why no one's buying, right? There's even fictional books that are great for, like, The Greatest Salesman in the World, I believe it's called, by Og Mangino. Like, there's books out there that are even like parables and stories on how to sell better. But like, you know, definitely get, read an article or something, you know, learn how to sell, learn how to present yourself, learn how to present your product and like to the world.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Very important.
I've been thinking with my book for Scoot Imprint, since it's like a younger audience, I'm going to be talking to like local movie theaters, because that's where there might be like a decent amount of kids, and like try to look at the movies coming out and see, like, you know, I would have loved for that one Minions movie, you know, I would have had that printed while that was coming out, and just sit there in the lobby and just be like, hey, you know, what's up, you know, what's going on, and start striking up some conversation.
I think like Puss in Boots just came out, so maybe if you get there.
I'm missing one.
You should look at theaters in the summer. They always do those like dollar kid movie summers where you can they do it as over a sequence of all the summer weeks, and there's one day a week that they show just kids movies. And when my kids were younger, we would just bank on that. We could go see, you'd buy the whole pack for like $10 to see 12 or 13 different movies. And that would be the place you could hopefully network and be there. Maybe they'd let you go there weekly. Right. And most big chains do some kind of a kid summer thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. or like the Sunday matinees too. Like that's another big one at some local places.
You can go the creepy route and just get a van.
I got some candy, kids.
Free comics, let's go.
And the kid just gets smacked in the face.
Yeah, it's like, I got something to show you.
And when you get arrested, that they know it's true.
Yeah, make sure you film the arrest so that you have social proof that you're really out there trying
for your social medias.
Local comic genius gets arrested.
When they arrest you, it's important you have your t-shirt with the logo of the comic.
Yes.
I'll wear my Immortal Era shirt as they drag.
And the hat, get a baseball cap just in case, because you don't know which direction they might get you from. So, you know.
I got
a QR code on your hat.
Maybe a scarf, a bandana, something. Yeah, yeah. Carry a flag.
A news article will be on Facebook or something, and they'll be like, "Oh, cool shirt." And then be like, "Oh,
the QR code."
Let me find out more about that convict right there.
The convict comic creator.
So, how could indie comic creators support each other and collaborate in the industry without a creepy van?
You're making it really hard.
I think the shares, I mean, it's now that I've actually started collaborating, because in the beginning I was doing my don't play well with others philosophy, and it was completely failing on me. It was basically putting out the beggar's cup and telling my family and friends, like, come on, dude, just, you can throw a dollar at this thing. But when you start talking, just even something like this, now we have some new creators that we're talking to, we're networking with, and they'll share your campaign. Maybe they're not backing it. Hopefully they are. But if not, they're sharing it. They're putting it on their social media. They're getting eyes on it that aren't just your same eyes that have seen it a million times, and they're ready to block you by the time your campaign ends. So more eyes, and then just joining different groups and not just sharing your stuff there, because most of those groups are full of creators and they don't want to hear it. They're trying to make their own money. And just talking with them, like, hey, would you mind sharing this, put it up? And the more shares you get, the better chance you have of actually finding some more people to read it, even if they're saying, okay, I'm going to buy a digital one, I'm going to give it a shot, and, you know, get that audience built through other creators, because most creators I've dealt with are really open and they're willing to share and, you know, give you a chance. You get your few that are, you know, like, what are you going to give me? And, you know, oh, I charge this much if you want to get my social media help. But there's plenty out there that will, you know, you can send them a message and they'll be happy to give you some tips and tricks.
Yeah, I definitely agree with, like, don't go out spamming your stuff. Nobody likes that. Like, one thing I tell people when they're trying to, like, grow their social media, pretend like you're the person who needs to consume your stuff. Even you wouldn't like what you're doing, right? So, like, one of the biggest things I can say is always provide value first, right? Don't be like, hey, buy my stuff. It's like, who the hell are you? Like, you know, the no, like, and trust happens in the collaborative space as well. Like, if I don't know who you are, I'm not going to share your stuff. If I don't like who you are, I'm not going to share your stuff. And if I don't trust that this is going to be a mutually beneficial relationship down the line, I'm not going to share your stuff. And so that's one of the things, like Greg and I are hosting podcasts. Like, we're not like, hey, it's going to, you know, you got to pay us to be on our podcast. Like, no, we're like connecting with people, right? It's like, you know, share our stuff or, you know, you can't come on. It's like, no, like, our whole objective is to connect with people, provide value with people, just because if that's, like, what is it? You know, the golden rule, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. We're going to just put out there what we hope others will try to do. Like, we're going to broadcast people. We're going to share people, you know, and the thing too, you'll find is that if you do that enough, you'll also find where the real people are. Like, there's going to be tons of people, yeah, like you said, that they're going to charge and they don't even know what they're talking about. There's plenty of life coaches that haven't figured out life, you know? So definitely agree with that.
Awesome. I've had a question for you guys in the indie or anything like that. Like, you know, I'll read Image or Marvel or DC, and in the back of the book, you'll get like a teaser of, like, you know, another book that they have on their line. Do indie creators get together and they kind of, like, have they done that? Like, put, like, hey, here's my buddy and here's a little preview of their comic book, you know, 1 to 2, 3 pages or whatever.
That's super interesting, because something we were considering was doing like a teaser for our own comic, but that's actually a really good idea. Like, that could be done in the sense of, like, you know, like a paid ad, like normally when you print your comic. Right. Whoever you get it printed through, may, like, often, like, they're like, hey, if you put us on the back cover, we'll cut the cost of the ads. Exactly. But what you could do, yeah, is partner with the creator and be like, hey, like, we'll put your first 3 pages of your comic at the end of our comic, because we have these two, three pages that are, you know, we need to fill up because you have the 4 page increments. It's like, you want to put it there, you know, give us some money to print it.
Yeah. So yeah. Greg, Dylan, Ed, and Christian. Would you like to?
No, I think that would actually be a great idea, just to further network. Yeah. I mean, you would just basically have to tell them the difference for those extra 4 pages is this much money. Right. So that's what I'm going to need you to pay to get this out. Because, I mean, the book, you got Immortal Era 7, and that has a preview for an upcoming series from myself that I'm working with Luke Stone on. But I haven't thought, like, okay, let's network out there with the other indie creators and try to help sell their stuff. It's like, here's a little 6-page teaser to get you hooked. And I think that's kind of what you do with you network with other creators to get those free digital copies for one of your reward tiers. Like, okay, here's the first stretch goal, and you give away a bunch of digital copies, you share digital copies of yours, and that can get readers. But a lot of people, myself included, I never read a digital copy. I have infinite amounts of them. I share them out. I don't think I've read one. Because I'm a school traditionalist. I want to hold it in my hands and experience that book, not scroll through on my computer.
Yeah, that's the other reason why you don't want to just spam out your stuff either, because some people that's the same with me. I've got a bunch of ebooks, you know, like I said, I read a lot of nonfiction books. I got a bunch of ebooks. I've read one of them, and it's only because I read it physically first and I used the digital solely as a reference to look at later. Like, I've probably got 100 digital books. I've had people that are like, oh, I'll send you a free copy of the digital version. I'm like, that's great. I'm probably not going to read it. Like, but that's great. I'll add it to the collection. So when somebody else wants these one day, I'll have this hard drive with 800,000 digital copies of a book that someone else can read.
No, that what we do, for example, this is something we started doing now. We participated several years in the Spanish Comic Free Comic Book Day and the Irish UK Free Comic Book Day. So we put our previews, and whoever is working with us, we put it in that book there too. you know, and that's massive, because that's what the all the publishers use everywhere to advertise what is coming. Say, hey, if you like our stuff, look at this, and look at this, and look at the other stuff, you know, and it doesn't cost that much, and because normally the stores pay a big part of it, because that's a big day for them, because they sell a lot during that day, you know, so they are, of course, we want to bring more books, free books, for sure, please. How much is it going to cost me? I don't know, $50 for 200, 300, yeah, please, because for them it's very cheap. You know, it's a call for people to come to the store, because they come. It happens a lot that they run out of books after 2 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
And people come say, hey, where's my free comic books? Oh, you have to come early, dude. So they love when they say, oh, you have more? Yeah, please bring them. Yeah, we need more. So they never show with that. So, but with that, you need, it takes time, and it's planning, and you need to talk to stores, and but that's what we talk about, the networking part, you know. But once you get that ball rolling, well, it's a lot easier, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, also, I was just thinking of something too on the thing that Ed was saying. Like, if you had somebody replace four of your pages, I probably wouldn't just charge exactly what those four pages are. I probably would mark it up. Like typical advertising would be like maybe 20% markup kind of thing. But only because, like, you could use that to market your own other comic books.
Right.
So, like, it's a cool idea to network with people. But I would say, like, if you're a creator trying to get your stuff into somebody else's book, I probably wouldn't recommend being like, oh, I'll pay for just the four pages I'm in. Like, you're taking up their real estate as well. So, like, I would probably say if you're the one charging, I would charge more. And if you're the one trying to pay for this, I would recommend paying more, because, you know, if you're not going to be pushing their comics so that they see it, all you're doing is getting whatever marketing they're doing. So you might as well be paying them extra, because they're basically broadcasting your stuff because they want their own comic to succeed. And you're basically just a tag along. So doing it for just at cost I think it would put a sour taste in the mouth of the person who really pushes their own comic, and they're basically just helping this other guy print out comics. So maybe even 10%, but some percentage on top of whatever you're charging for printing. And then obviously you want to make sure that they're comfortable with whatever amount you're going to print. Like, if you're going to be printing like 1,000 copies or something crazy, you know, like definitely make sure that they're comfortable with that. And probably, you know, that's where you could, you know, maybe it's only 5% if you're printing, you know, 500 plus comics, you know, so just something to think about.
I say that, I always say that in business, you have to be like, in life, you don't have to be an idealist, because idealists, they're that bad. Okay, you have to be a good hard pragmatist. Okay, so if you mentioned, hey, I'm giving you this opportunity, because at the end of the day, it's an opportunity, dude. You know, I'm giving you the back cover of my thing that I work hard to put out there to be in this thing. So I'm giving you this opportunity, and of course, I'm gonna charge you a little bit. I'm not gonna make millions with this. Okay, so that's just gonna. So you are good. I'm okay. We're both nice, so we both feel okay with it. You know, and of course, important. Something that is similar to your stuff. For example, if you do dark horror, and you put something Disney in the back cover, that's not gonna end up well. Okay,
yeah,
we need to be something, you know, more or less same thing.
Yeah, and all ages isn't gonna work in Immortal Era at the end.
No. Yeah, and I was gonna say, honestly, that's also probably why you should be paying a little more than just the pages you're filling, because hypothetically, you're not getting in front of any comic book reader. You're getting in front of the comic book reader who likes your genre. So, like, if there's a horror anthology, right, and you're in there and your name's in there, right, you're getting spread because of that. But if it's somebody else's completely separate comic, your name's not normally in there, and it happens to be a horror comic, and you also have a horror comic, whoever bought that comic is likely to be a fan of horror comics and now is getting exposed to your work. So it's like, it's way more valuable than some random ad you might take out, because if you run Facebook ads, you can't target, you know, what's it called? Independent horror comic fans. You know what I mean? That's not it's not a category. Exactly. So you're getting in front of the exact fans you want. So that's a very big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's priceless. Yep.
That's what kind of challenges and opportunities do you think indie comic creators have, such as like making it their properties with different mediums like film or video games? Like, are any of you interested in ever doing anything like that?
I have a studio. I don't do just indie comics. For example, in the summer, I'm shooting a short film based on one of my scripts. And we're doing collectibles too with the comic that we're going to release now, with the one you're in, Greg. We're doing collectibles too. So we are a studio. We do four or five things at the same time. Comics is just one piece of the puzzle. Because I understand because I come from theater. That's what I started with. Okay. So I come from an entertainment school that says that do it once, sell it 10 times if you can.
Right.
15. Right. Okay, so if I have the story, I can do the story, I can do the animation, I can do the toy, I can do the book, I can do the novel, I can do it again, and every time they're gonna pay me.